I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to One Up Delivered Through the Air podcast channel. I am your host as usual, Guy Drinkle. And joining me is Carl as usual. How are you doing, Carl?
Not too bad, Guy. How about yourself?
I'm alright. Football's back tomorrow. After a long break of about a week. so that'll keep me busy. But gaming, we've been away. I don't know what time it is anymore, but it must be 3 weeks, a month since we'd last done one of these?
Yeah, I'd say some 3-4 weeks before we've last recorded one.
And in that time, everything's happened. so that means we've got loads of... It's going to be an Xbox-heavy episode. And then we're going to go through the Ubisoft event is a very strong word, but I'll call it an event from last night. But first up, what's the first news story?
Yeah, so first news story today, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate will include EA Play from this holiday. And the story comes from Joe Screbbles over at IGN, so I'd urge you to read the full story over there if you haven't already. Xbox has announced that Xbox Game Pass Ultimate will also include EA Play, the EA subscription service, for no additional cost starting this holiday season. The announcement on the Xbox Wire website explains that Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and PC members will get EA Play at no additional cost starting from this holiday. Game Pass Ultimate users will be able to access EA Play games on all Xbox consoles plus Windows 10 PCs, while Game Pass PC members naturally just get access to the PC version. Xbox also notes that some EA Play games will also be available for Game Pass Ultimate users to play on Android devices through xCloud. EA games supported by the streaming service have not yet been announced. And as I said, you can read the full story over on IGN. So, Game Pass, the great value that it is, now even better value. I mean, what's your thoughts on this, Guy, as a loyal Game Pass subscriber?
Well, it's really good news because it saves me changing my pay details to get EA, well, it was Access, EA Play now, so it saves me a job. That's the most important thing there, because I was meaning to do that and I kept forgetting. But no, it's really good. It's a really good deal. I mean, EA Access, I'm going to call it EA Access because EA Play, it's not the same. EA Access was £20 a year, which it's not loads, but for no additional price and saving £20 a year, I can't remember how much Ultimate is. I will Google that. Whatever Ultimate is, I think it's like 12 to 15, whatever it is. It's still such a great deal. And to add EA, which it's not got the most expansive library, but at the same time, there's games that EA are bringing out that I'll probably eventually want to have a bash on. That'll eventually come to EA Access, and Squadrons just came, I think it's coming out in about a month or so. That screams of EA Play game eventually. And maybe that's when they announce it. Maybe Squadrons will go straight into Game Pass, which is a good way of going about it, I suppose. But even stuff like UFC 4, which we talked about during a year's last event, I think we did. Just getting the probably one decent game a year, plus the little discounts you get on stuff like when you buy FIFA and you get Ultimate Team coins, I should say, Christ. Just little discounts you get on stuff like that. I think it's just really good value. It just really is good value. I mean, the debate is whether it's good for the business long term, but in terms of business for Xbox, we say it every time we bring up Xbox. Game Pass is Xbox's model. It's obviously with Xbox is trying to work on exclusives and stuff like that, but this launch period for the S and X, it's going to be very Game Pass heavy, unless there is a surprise coming. I think there's an event in the next couple of weeks, I think. So unless there's a surprise at that, Game Pass is going to be pushed proper hard, I imagine. But yeah, it's just absolutely great value.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree with that. I mean, I don't think EA Play is the most, you know, I don't think it's comparable to Game Pass itself in terms of the value, because it just doesn't have the library of that. But you do get a decent selection of EA games, and you also get access to kind of early access trials of newer games, which is pretty handy. I mean, obviously with your sports titles, you're likely to buy them anyway, but you know, there's other EA games that you might want to try before you buy, and this gives you the chance to do that. And as you kind of touched on, there is the chance that this could lead to kind of other agreements between the two parties, you know, but perhaps some of the newer EA titles, as you mooted, Squadrons could be an example, could come to Game Pass, you know, as part of the standard Game Pass. So I mean, it definitely fuels the speculation on that kind of thing. And at the end of the day, it's not like it's for an extra euro, an extra €2 or pound. You know, it's the exact same cost, so this can only be seen as a good thing. And Game Pass Ultimate, which already rolled in, you know, Xbox Game Pass, Game Pass PC, Xbox Live Gold, and xCloud, is now going to include a fifth service, which, you know, it's crazy. Like that's something that was already such great value is even better value. And I think for a while there's been a lot of talk about what could Sony do, you know, to compete with this. You know, will they kind of roll in PS Plus and PlayStation Now into kind of a package deal, and what else could they tie in and that kind of thing? And I think really, in my opinion, I think a lot of people think, well, why would Sony do that kind of thing? They're winning without kind of offering these kind of value packages. But I think Xbox have done so much at this point, Sony have to do something to answer that value. Maybe not quite match it, but at least make an attempt. Because otherwise, you know, regardless of, you know, Sony in the last generation having the clearly superior exclusive titles, that only goes so far when so many gamers are really there for the, you know, they're there for their FIFAs, they're there for their Call of Duties, they're there, you know. Why wouldn't they look at an Xbox and be like, well, I can get all these extra games for only £12 a month or whatever the cost may be.
Imagine a FIFA launch in Game Pass.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's difficult to see, but if it did, like it's just I can't see why people wouldn't, you know, people who aren't interested in your God of Wars and Uncharted and that, why they wouldn't be looking at an Xbox with this value, because it's a no-brainer. So I do think Sony need to do something to answer what is just incredible value from Xbox at the moment.
And speaking of value, it leads us on to the next news story, but also Game Pass is cheaper than I thought, which is weird, seeing as I'm paying for the damn thing. It's only £11 a month, so yeah, that's all right. Or the first month is £1. Thank you, Microsoft, for the check. It is hopefully in the mail. no, it's not, because I'd be making bank. But no, I mean, speaking of value, I mean, probably the biggest news story, I mean, it's the worst kept secret in gaming about the Xbox Series S, seeing as it's leaked in, like, little staggered sections of news from the controller box to pretty much it just being released, and then tweeted out at, like, what was it? It was, like, 3 a.m. in American time, or one of the American times. So, yeah, I mean, speaking of value, I mean, the Xbox Series S.
Yeah, so Xbox Series S confirmed by Microsoft coming November 10th. Story comes from Nicole Carpenter over at Polygon. Be sure to read her full story if you haven't already. And Nicole writes, Microsoft has confirmed the existence and price and release date of the Xbox Series S, a smaller, cheaper version of the next generation Xbox Series X. The console will launch November 10th for $299. Microsoft confirmed the leaked Xbox Series S technical specifications in the reveal trailer, saying that the console is designed to play games in 1440p resolution at up to 120 frames per second. The Xbox Series S is an, quote, all-digital, end quote, console. It contains only a 512GB solid-state drive, no optical drive, and will support next-gen technology such as DirectX ray tracing, variable rate shading, and variable refresh rate video output. It will offer 4K playback for streaming services like the existing Xbox One S does, and will also upscale games to 4K at, quote, nearly 60% smaller than Series X, end quote. The Xbox Series S is the, quote, the smallest Xbox ever, end quote, said Microsoft. And you can get the full story over on Polygon. So, as you said, Guy, this is the worst-kept secret. We knew this was coming. We wondered what it would be. Would it be kind of like a streaming box? Would it be kind of a halfway step between the Xbox One X and the Xbox Series X? And we finally got our answer in that it seems to be an Xbox Series X for the most part, aside from that it's going to play it be at a 1440p native resolution as opposed to a native 4K. I mean, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, I'm more interested in your thoughts on this because obviously as an Xbox game player, you're going to be picking up an Xbox console, and I wonder, has the Series S persuaded you to go with that rather than the Series X?
No. No. no, but it never was, because we, even when the links were there, and you'd imagine it was always going to be the smaller version, because why would you release a show a console and then go, here's an even bigger one? So, no, it doesn't interest me, because I play a lot of games, so I'd kind of want the full, I don't want to say a full, like, well, let's say full fat version of next gen. I'm not saying the S is, I'll say diluted for want of a better word, but it's the budget version without like sounding like a twat. It's because gaming's becoming more expensive, isn't it? We know this. I mean, games are going up to £70. The consoles aren't changing too much from last gen, but that's because they have to try and outsell the other one. But gaming prices are going up. Games are becoming more frequent. So I imagine that it's the biggest business in entertainment, isn't it? So the fact that Xbox are releasing a console that is £250, $299. That isn't optimized for 4K. Not everything's 4K. So people who aren't super gamers and don't really care about 4K, and people who aren't privileged as us, like, if not everyone has a 4K TV, not everyone can afford a half a grand console this winter. But at the same time, it's easier to save up £250 than it is to save up £450 and justify that. So I'm not trying to do a sob story or anything like that, but say if you if you're poorer but you still want to treat your kids to Christmas, getting an Xbox Series S is a lot more obtainable than a Series X or a PS5 will be, I presume, because you'd imagine the PS5 is going to be similar to the Series X. So I think it just makes sense. I think this is just one for the casuals and for people who can't justify spending pretty much half a grand on a console. So I think it has its place in the Xbox ecosystem. That's the word I'm looking for. So I think it just has its place, because that's what we debated when the leaks first happened. We didn't know what the point was when we had the One S, the One X, and the Series X. So I think the fact that it's optimized for current gen televisions and its price point, I'm starting to see the point of it more now. Whereas the X is for me and you, well, everyone in our WhatsApp group and stuff like that. Whereas the S is for people who can't justify the money and pretty much only play FIFA and Call of Duty and don't have like a 60-inch 8K capable telly.
Yeah, no, I certainly get where you're coming from. There's a lot of value here. And I mean, as you said, at $300 or £250, I mean, that's a massive step down. It's almost half the price that both the Xbox Series X and the rumored price of the PlayStation 5. So that's going to make a massive difference to a lot of families, and particularly those that have been hit hard by, you know, what's effectively been a recession in 2020, thanks to a certain world health crisis. Mm. So I think this may catch a lot of eyes. And I mean, even for someone like myself, who, you know, I'm primarily a PlayStation gamer, I do own an Xbox One S. And initially I planned to get an Xbox One X because, you know, the enhanced visuals and increased loading speed and all that kind of stuff. And I was very tempted. But then when it came to one Black Friday, I remember looking at the deals and the Xbox One S was just a total steal. And it was about £200 cheaper than the Xbox One X. And I said, you know, why wouldn't I go with the One S? Because I'm still probably going to primarily play games on my PlayStation 4. And that,
yeah.
PlayStation 4 Pro, and that's exactly what's happened. So, you know, I don't regret that at all. And this could be a similar thing for myself, that, you know, eventually when I decide I want an Xbox new console, you know, the fact that the Series S is £200 cheaper, and the only thing I'd be compromising on is the visuals somewhat. And, you know, I'm not really, I, you know, obviously I can appreciate good visuals, but, you know, that's never been the driving thing for me as a gamer. I mean, to be honest, as stupid as it sounds, I remember when looking at the Xbox One X, the thing that intrigued me most was the idea that I could put my Xbox copy of Morrowind in, which a game that had like the most ridiculous loading times ever, and that it would load far, far faster. And like the Xbox Series S is going to have the same loading speeds as the Series X. I mean, I'm not sure if you watched the 8-minute video Xbox released on the Series S.
The Outer Worlds one.
But exactly, yeah. The fact that I think it took 12 seconds to load on the Series S, whereas on the Xbox One S, it took 52 seconds. Now, obviously, the Xbox One X takes less than that. Mm-hmm. It's probably somewhere halfway, but the fact
that
the Series S is even going to have faster load speeds than the Xbox One X is really intriguing to me. And, you know, I haven't quite made my mind up as far as picking up one of the new Xbox consoles eventually. But when I do, right now, based on what I know, I'd be very tempted by the Series S, given that £200 price difference.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, obviously, I mentioned it in the previous news story. The launch titles for the new Xbox, barring a surprise, aren't going to be that good. So in terms of long-term strategy, the Series S, I mean, it's starting off at £250, but give it a year when Halo's out, when, let's say, Hellblade 2's out, just for argument's sake. You might, let's say, Black Friday next year, it might be 200 for a week or a weekend or whatever, spending £200 to get an Xbox Series S next gen, and then you can get Game Pass for a quid for a month. You can play them games, and you can kind of justify spending £200 on your second console, maybe even your third console if you play on Nintendo. If you're privileged like us, as I mentioned with the S, not everyone can spend that. But if you're a gamer and you're intrigued by Hellblade 2, by Halo, by Avowed in a few years, spending £200 to £250, depending on the price when you buy it, it's going to be great value. So I think long term, the S just it has its place, because when we do, I think it might have been either last show or the previous show, we talked about Xbox getting rid of the One X, and obviously the One's been dead for ages. But just getting rid of the One X and the S Digital, it just kind of cleans it up. So whatever the price of the I'm glad they've sorted the name out eventually, but the One S, whatever that's going to be, let's say that's 150, then you've got 250 for the Series S. 250, I should say, and then 450 for the Series X. The price points are quite clear there. So I think you've got your entryway into the console, say if you're buying for a young kid in the One S. Then if you want to get next gen but don't want to spend half a grand, you've got the Series S. And then if you're a Xbox gamer over a PlayStation gamer, you've got the Series X. So I think it's clearing the muddy waters that Xbox has had for a while, I think.
Yeah, I think, as you said, kind of on the front end of this discussion, things are a lot clearer on the Series S now that it's been revealed and we know the details. I mean, a lot of people were questioning its existence when it was simply a rumored thing, but now I think it does make a lot more sense given the massive price difference. I mean, if it was only 100 quid less, there might be more questions to be asked, considering what we know about the PlayStation 5. But I think with that massive difference, I think it makes a lot more sense. And I think it's definitely something that a lot of people are going to get behind now that that it's clear what it is going to offer to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see how it sells, because price point is obviously big on Christmas sales. I mean, if this is the hot property this Christmas, I mean, it'll be a nice surprise, but I mean, I suppose we have to wait for the PlayStation and the PlayStation digital price to see how well it compares. Because, I mean, if the PS5 digital is only 50 quid more than the S, it doesn't look as much of a bargain, but I think that would be Sony taking a very big hit. So it'll be interesting to see how the PlayStation prices are affected by the S.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the rumor, I think, for the PlayStation was $4.99 dollars and $3.99. I think, obviously, in that case, you'd be talking $100 difference between the Series S and the discless PlayStation 5. And although the discless PlayStation 5 doesn't compromise on the hardware, it's just no disc drive, I don't think the layperson is going to be aware of that. They're not going to see it that way. And they're going to be like, well, why would I buy my kid a PlayStation that's 100 quid more? So I wonder, will this kind of force Sony to maybe even further? Will the discless suddenly be like, even, I know they couldn't massively drop it, but could it be like $3,749 or something like that? You know, even $25 less could make a big difference in terms of how those prices are visualized, you know. So it will be very interesting. I think Sony have to reveal things soon, because I think Microsoft has kind of stolen the thunder in terms of getting their pre-orders announced first and their release date. So I don't think it will be too long at all until Sony plays their hand, and I'll be interested to see what that hand contains.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't there a Sony event meant to be this week, or is it next week?
I'm not too sure on
I thought there was meant to be one last night. I might have been wrong on that, but I think Sony said it was meant to be like more about VR and stuff. But, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so a major PS5 event expected next week, apparently.
Right.
So I guess we'll have another show on the go next week to cover that. So be interested to see, is that just going to be the details of the console and services and the like, or if maybe there's still a game or two to be revealed? Because obviously that State of Play didn't give us too much in terms of new PlayStation 5 stuff.
No, it didn't. It didn't at all. Last Xbox news, I mean, we've kind of pretty much discussed the news that the X also got its release. November 10th, it is. We didn't mention it for the S, but it's for the same for the X. So, yeah, I mean, Xbox Series X, £4.50 there, I wish. £450. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hefty price for a console, but at the same time, it's the expected price. I mean, it's not much different to what we would have paid for our, I would have paid for my PS4 Pro in and around launch, and obviously the Xbox One X was more expensive, I want to say, was it? Or the same price?
It was the same price, but wasn't the PlayStation $450?
I think so, yes.
I think the Xbox was £50 more.
We're ballpark in and around the same. So it's no real surprise there. I mean, also in the story, and the one thing we haven't really covered yet there is that both consoles will be available through the Xbox All Access program, which is a subscription service that gets you a console and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, with the Series X being $34.99 or £28.99 a month, and the Series S at £20.99 for the S, obviously. So, and that service will now be available in 12 countries, including the UK. I mean, that's an interesting way to approach getting your new Xbox console, you know, paying for it on a monthly basis, and that, I suppose, it is in some form a more affordable way for some people, because, you know, let's face it, it's not easy to throw together £450 or €500 for a new console, whereas kind of paying for it, say, £29 or €35 a month, when you're already paying £11 or €12, I think, a month for Game Pass Ultimate already, it's a notable difference from the month-to-month, you know, paycheck. So it's a good option for people to have, and I'm sure a lot of people will consider that, because it's not your typical financing options. You know, there's not crazy interest attached or anything like that. So it's a nice option for people to have, given the hefty price of the Series X. I mean, is that something at all that you would consider going?
Yeah, I was quite looking at All Access. I mean, I have saved up so I can just buy it if I want it to, but I think buying it monthly obviously help. I mean, if you want to get your credit score up or something like that, I'm sure it can help with that. I mean, getting it monthly. The only thing is I already have Game Pass Ultimate, so I mean, if it just packages it together, I think it's 0% more, or whatever the hell the word is, isn't it? So, I mean, it's the same price, I think. So it is tempting. I just need to know a bit more about how it actually works. Like, I think it's game over in the UK and Smith's, but we figured out that Smith's is, like, only in 4 places in England, but it's all over Ireland. So it's a strange one. But no, I think I'll be interested. I just need to work out, can I get it delivered from Game, or do I have to go pick it up from Game? How does it work, etc. So I'll do a bit more research into it when the pre-orders actually come out. But it's very interesting. But I think it's just something that's it's just helpful to the consumer, isn't it? I think that's kind of, Xbox has failed on or Xbox One failed on the actual game thing. But with that failure came the better services, you'd probably say, than PlayStation. But PlayStation can do what they want, really. but yeah, I think that's kind of where Xbox has kind of tried to get their niches with different services. But I mean, it's the same as a phone contract, isn't it, really? So it's not that surprising. So yeah, I think it makes sense. And as we can't, the theme of this is kind of helping the consumer, especially in 2020. So spending either £21 or £29 a month. I see the point of it. It wouldn't surprise me if PlayStation do the same, because it just makes sense, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I do. As you said, you kind of need more information. I wonder kind of how long is it for, because, I mean, doing the math there, if you paid that for the Series S, you'd have, like, is it 2 years, possibly?
I think it's two, yeah.
To pay off the console, yeah, and then you just start paying the normal Game Pass. If something like that, I mean, it's certainly, if it's available here, I might even look into it myself for a Series S and kind of get it at launch alongside a PlayStation 5. So we'll it's something I'll definitely have to read up on myself. Yeah. But
I mean, if you drop £450 on a PlayStation and £21 a month for an Xbox, I mean, it's a way to get both of them, isn't it? I mean, if PlayStation announced it, I'd maybe do the same.
Yeah, it is a nice option if you're looking at both consoles. I mean, because as you said, gaming isn't cheap these days, and especially if you're multi-platform like ourselves. I mean, something we missed in the past months where we haven't been recording is obviously it's technically a rumor, because we know how tight-lipped Nintendo are, but I think you can pretty much take it as fact that there's a new Switch, I think a 4K capable Switch, coming out next holiday season. So, you know, if there's a massively increased battery life on that, I'll be very tempted by that for my Switch. So, I mean, when you're trying to keep up with all three consoles, it's definitely an expensive hobby. So options like these are always nice.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, as I said, just one for the consumer. But if they advertise it, Marcus, I think it came out. Did it come out when the X came out? I think I'm right in saying that. So it's not too old of a service. So if you can go big on it on the launch, it'll probably help. Because as you say, when parents are looking at consoles to buy, it's like, I can just pay £29 a month for this. Then rather than just go £450. So yeah, it just helps people. I mean, that's it for the Xbox news. I mean, anything to add before we move on to the Ubisoft event in air quotes?
No, I mean, I think we well covered it there. You know, it'll just be interesting to see. Kind of, obviously, those launches are 2 months out, so will we see much more said before then? I mean, are Microsoft going to announce maybe have another game event before then? And then, you know, obviously we knew that their some of their other studios were not sure what they're working on yet. So could we see something there? It wouldn't surprise me at all to see maybe an event in October, possibly a month out, kind of to hype things up further. I mean, they did say there would be further events.
Yeah, release on the tweet for the yes, they said there'll be an event soon or more news soon or something like that.
So that wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, as you alluded to, that the launch library isn't the best. I don't think that's going to change between now and then, but at least hyping people up for 2021 and what games we can expect then and beyond could help them out a lot. So I think that's the next thing that Microsoft need to do then is try and sell us more so on their games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only surprise I could see is maybe Flight Simulator ends up being launched, but I don't know what the console version of that looks like at the minute. So yeah, but anyway, let's move on to the Ubisoft event. When that event eventually happens, we can speculate on. So I mean, Ubisoft event. We finally got to see Not God of Monsters.
Yeah, renamed to Immortal Phoenix Rising. That's quite an interesting title. It's very out there. It's less forgettable than Gods and Monsters. Gods and Monsters was quite generic, and I'm sure there's multiple games with somewhat similar names. And it's launching 3rd of December, which is interesting because we had been a little concerned about stories of this game receiving somewhat of a reboot and how far out would that make it, because let's not forget this game was supposed to come out earlier this year. But it looks like the release hasn't been too badly affected. I mean, what did you think of this one, Guy, when you watched its reveal yesterday, or re-reveal, more accurately?
Zelda. it looked like Zelda Breath of the Wild, but more arcadey? Yeah, let's roll with that. Yeah, I mean, it looked like that. It looked like that style of game, and even the open world, even the art style, to a certain degree. Obviously, different settings where fantasy compared to ancient Greece, which is kind of fantasy. But yeah, I mean, it's probably not my cup of tea because I've never played Breath of the Wild. I'd probably give it a go and I'd probably enjoy it, but to drop what would probably presumably 70 quid on it. Maybe not straight away, but Ubisoft has a sale every week, so it'll be cheap eventually. I could see myself buying it, like, if there's a lull period. Maybe next summer or something like that, possibly. But not my cup of tea, but I mean, I forwarded it straight on to my mate who was a big Breath of the Wild fan, and he literally messaged me just at the start of the pod and said, yeah, that looks like my thing. So if you like Breath of the Wild, I can see people enjoying that. So yeah, not for me, but I see the appeal.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, for me, my thought was like just Assassin's Creed Odyssey, but like with the mythological stuff turned up to 11 and kind of more kid-friendly graphics. I mean, I think it's obviously it's coming from that team, so the comparison isn't at all surprising. It's a funny one. Like, I loved Odyssey. I'm actually intending to play it later today to finally finish that last DLC, so I can chalk it off after what feels like 300 hours of play. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying this game looks bad, but it's just not really catching my interest. I think it's one that I've just got to wait and see kind of how it's received and people who play it, what they say. I think that could obviously make a difference if it gets great reviews. Because, I mean, I think Assassin's Creed had kind of fallen off my radar. And then just like the reception that both Origins and Odyssey received kind of brought me back in. So that could certainly change. But for now, I'm with this one, I think I'm just kind of observing. So, you know, I'll see what happens in December when it launches. And
what do you make of the December? It's a bit of a strange window, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I suppose it probably, I'm surprised they didn't kind of delay it to maybe early next year, but I suppose they do have other games, you know, that we'll get to that are coming out in those windows. We already know about Far Cry 6. So maybe that, you know, at the same time, they don't want to clash with a lot of the bigger kind of games coming out in October, November, at the new console launch, especially Assassin's Creed as well. They want their own game. They won't want to self-cannibalize. So maybe they just felt that December was literally the only month in which this game could slot in, because it couldn't come earlier, it couldn't come later, because they didn't want it getting quashed by bigger titles. That's the only logical explanation I can think of. I mean, what are your thoughts on the date?
Well, it's strange, but I mean, what you said there, it does make sense. I mean, Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed, I think they're in 2 weeks within each other, maybe 3 weeks. But I worked out. I can't remember if I put it. The only group I might have put not put it in was my in our group. I put a list of games coming out. It was like Watch Dogs is it's either the 27th or the 29th of October. Assassin's Creed's the 17th of November, and then Cyberpunk's the 19th. A game like Immortals Phoenix, right? It's not going to compete with them because, albeit I compared it to Zelda Breath of the Wild, it doesn't have the pull of Zelda Breath of the Wild because it's not a Zelda game. So yeah, it makes sense. I think maybe January would have been a better spell, but at the same time, as you mentioned, they've got Far Cry coming out then, which is maybe not Ubisoft's biggest title, because you'd probably say that's Assassin's Creed, and Far Cry normally comes out in late winter, early spring, doesn't it? So it kind of makes sense, but December tends to be, I don't know, I think the only other game I can remember coming out in December is like Just Cause. So maybe it doesn't spell optimism for me, because December's kind of a nothing period in games, but yeah, it's a strange one, but it's probably more out of necessity, because was it March or May it was originally meant to come out in?
Yeah, it was early this year, I think March, so I mean it's like I think Ubisoft have gotten themselves in a position where a lot of games, both publicly and I would speculate privately, have been delayed. Some have gotten caught in developmental hell. You know, obviously, I think Beyond Good and Evil 2 has gone completely quiet. And I think particularly with the trouble that's arisen over certain kind of senior staff on that team. So I don't know when the hell we'll ever see that game, but that's maybe the most extreme of examples. But you know, we've seen it happen obviously with Gods and Monsters now coming back as Immortal Phoenix Rising. We've seen it's happening with Skull and Bones, which is apparently being reworked somewhat.
I'm still sad.
Yeah. So I just think they've probably backed themselves into a corner, and I think we might see a lot of, you know, we're going to probably see a lot of releases from Ubisoft in the space of a few months. I mean, we already know a lot are coming, and I think there's going to be more probably piled on top of those, and some might launch in very strange windows, but I just think it's inevitable now because they have to get these games out the door.
Yeah, it's just it's obviously horrendous what COVID's done, but like, if you obviously ignore people dying and stuff, I mean, on the game market, it's kind of screwed everyone's normality. Not just the game, obviously everyone's normal life, but it's like so many games have been affected. Like Cyberpunk obviously got put back, Last of Us got put back, everything in this industry's been put back. Maybe not as badly as say the film industry. So you know, I think Tenants or however you pronounce it, that's like the first film that came out in ages. So yeah, it's strange how it's affected it, but yeah. I'll just wait to see what my mate says on the Phoenix, on Immortals. Christ, I'm not sure about the name. I think I would have preferred Gods and Monsters. but I suppose if they're trying to make a character IP out of it, it makes sense, I suppose. I can't remember what else was on it. What's it called? What was that bike thing called at the end?
So, well, the next game discussed, which I think feeds well in terms of our speculations on delays and strange release windows, is Prince of Persia, The Sand of Time Remake, which is being done by Ubisoft Pune. And as far as I'm aware, this has only been announced for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, even though the new consoles will be out by the time of its release date, the 21st of January 2021. And I'm wondering, you know, maybe it's just pure speculation on my part, but was this a game that was supposed to come out much earlier as well? I'm sure it'll play on those consoles, the newer consoles anyway, But I mean, it doesn't look like it's been natively developed for them. So I'm curious I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that guy. Like, do you feel this is a game that was potentially delayed as well, but one that was kept secret, fortunately for Ubisoft?
Prince of Persia, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. I was reading something. I was frantically looking for the docs thing because I thought I missed the... You put in the order thing, and it was me being stupid. I was listening. But yeah, Prince of Persia, I mean, that was strange. I was thinking that when I was watching it, I was like, because it got leaked ahead of the show, so I was kind of only half-assed listening, because I didn't really care. But yeah, it was just, when it said current gen only, it was a bit strange, because if you wanted to leave it open-ended like that, you'd probably just say it's coming to Xbox and PlayStation, but they definitely said Xbox One and PlayStation 4. So maybe they're trying to sell it as like two versions of it, because other games are doing that. Like, I think NBA is doing that, isn't it? Whereas instead of getting the free upgrade, that smart delivery and whatever PlayStation are going to call it, which probably just call it an upgrade. Yeah, maybe it's not ready for next gen, and maybe they're going to repackage it with, I don't know, maybe they are making another Prince of Persia game and they'll release it as part of that or something like that. I'm not sure, but it was very definitive. It was only current gen, wasn't it? It was very strange.
Yeah, it was certainly a strange one. And it does, as I said, my personal speculation on the matter would be that this game was supposed to come out a lot earlier, you know, maybe earlier this year, maybe even last year.
It's been rumored a long time.
it's certainly that there has been, you know, and I always wondered whether that was solid rumors or just kind of wishful rumors, because a lot of people are fans of this game, and I myself enjoyed playing the ones back on the PS2, the Sand of Time and its sequels. And I know friends of mine that were really into the series, so they'll be very excited at this remake. And I'm sure, like, I feel as a project itself, it's a no-brainer. I'm sure it's going to sell pretty well, given the popularity of the series and how hungry people are for the series to come back. And maybe it could lead to a whole new game in the future, which would be pretty cool to see a notable series make a full return. But nonetheless, I just can't help think that the game has been delayed. And people might say, well, what difference does it make? And I suppose it doesn't. If you're looking forward to the game, if it's a game for you, you're still going to play it. But it just seems to me more evidence that things have been a little messy at Ubisoft in the past couple of years.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, I mean, what do you... I mean, 21st of July, and they only mentioned current gen. It's a bit stranger release date again, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, January is similar to December. Not as strange as December, but it's probably the next strangest month for games to launch. Well, alongside the summer months anyway, you know, kind of June and July is fairly rare as well. It's a strange one. As I said, it's another one that I would just speculate that's just been kind of penciled in there just to get it out, because it has to get out there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what do you... it's not an IP I've played, to be honest. I mean, I was chatting to a couple of my mates last night, and this pretty much said it was when you were young. So that's what I got. That's what I got told. So I mean, is it like a precursor to what Assassin's Creed became? That's kind of I've seen of Prince of Persia games.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously Prince of Persia way, way, way back when was like a computer game, and it was kind of a side-scrolling puzzler platformer. The series got rebooted by Ubisoft then in the early noughties as a 3D action adventure platformer. And it was very much similar to Assassin's Creed, kind of similar combat, similar kind of parkour, kind of climbing walls, jumping platforms, that kind of thing. Originally, Assassin's Creed was actually supposed to be a spin-off of Prince of Persia. I think it was supposed to be like Prince of Persia Assassins or something, right, if I recall rightly. So it is, it's very, if obviously you've played Assassin's Creed, you're going to be familiar with it, but it's a bit more linear, a bit more self-contained. It's not really an open world title. It's more kind of self-contained, more of a contained game world.
Which IP had the better film, though?
Never seen either.
You haven't seen the Assassin's Creed either, but I imagine both shit. I've not seen the Prince of Persia film, but the Assassin's Creed film's pretty shit. If anyone has opinions on the films, do feel free to tweet me, because I'm genuinely interested. Fassbender and Jake Gyllenhaal. It's interesting casting. It's interesting. I mean, would you like to see it come back, or would you not think it'd have a place with Assassin's Creed becoming it? But I suppose with Assassin's Creed becoming pretty much big-ass RPGs, Prince of Persia go back to being that linear parkour-y stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think that's long been the supposed word on why Ubisoft let the series go dormant, was because they didn't think it made sense to have the two games competing. But what I would say on that is, I mean, I think they're different enough now. You know, Assassin's Creed has become this open world action RPG. Is that probably the best way to describe it, whereas, you know, as I said, Prince of Persia is very much kind of a contained 3D action adventure title. So, I mean, I think they're different enough. There are certainly some similarities, but, you know, in that there are similarities. I mean, it'd be nice, you know, we've gotten to the point now where Assassin's Creed isn't annual, it's kind of biannual. So maybe you could have a Prince of Persia game on alternating years with Assassin's Creed, which I think would be a nice way of doing things. And, they're different enough, but similar enough that I think that's a kind of release schedule that could work for them.
Yeah, it certainly makes sense. Maybe not as like the November big release every other year, but maybe it could fill that Far Cry spring spot on the year that Assassin's Creed isn't. It makes sense. I probably wouldn't play it myself unless it looked hella impressive. It's always tough getting into new IP, but I suppose stuff like Tomb Raider did it. Maybe. Should we just skip the Hyperscape stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can really say anything. Yeah. You know,
I've played
Hyperscape
it.
Hype trailer, Hyperscape listing of new modes, that was pretty much it. And as someone who doesn't play Hyperscape, I pretty much looked away, if I'm honest.
This was another hype trailer after the 20-minute hype trailer on the last Ubisoft Forward event. Oh, dearie me. Yeah, I mean, I played it. I did like 3 games on it. It feels... The Battle Royale circuit is very seasoned. Fortnite's been around for 1 billion years. COD's been around. COD's not been around too long, but it's COD. And PUBG. I mean, PUBG's pretty much dead. But that's been around 1 million years as well. So entering this market with a game that doesn't feel as polished as other ones, it's just tough. I mean, it's just tough. And I forgot about Apex, which is probably up there with my favourite. Which Apex came in and kind of felt a bit more polished, and that's kind of developed. So I found it strange that Ubisoft made a battle royale. Maybe it's doing better than I think, but I've already spoke too much on Hyperscape. Rainbow Six. Again, probably a quick one. The releasing the updated version that for next gen, and I think what did they say, 120 frames. If you like Rainbow Six Siege, which I do, I'll eventually play it, because if it's a game that they really do have pretty much a unlimited life length on it, I'll always eventually go back on Rainbow Six Siege. So that's happy news for me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's such a popular title not so long ago, as they touched on in this presentation. You know, they promised 10 years of service at least. They're just about to hit the halfway point there. I mean, so it's we knew all along it was coming to next gen. It's cool to know that that's happening imminently. And 120 frames per second is a nice touch. The most notable thing about this was the kind of trailer, the animated trailer, kind of to announce Sam Fisher being added in as an operative full time. And I just think, I don't know whether Ubisoft are doing it on purpose at this point, but it just feels they're taking the mick entirely when it comes to announcing a new Splinter Cell game. I mean, it's not so long ago I was reading that supposedly the Italian voice actor for Sam Fisher has said that, you know, he's recorded all his lines for a new game and that he thinks it'll be out soon. But yeah, we still heard nothing about this new Splinter Cell. And as a fan of the Splinter Cell series, it's kind of quite frustrating that we're seeing Sam Fisher pop up everywhere but in a new Splinter Cell game.
Next November, but let's go. Let's do Splinter Cell bingo. I'll go next November. You go. Never.
Yeah, I mean, at this time, despite all the rumors that would make you think it's inevitable, I just have no clue why it hasn't been announced yet. And you know, maybe it could be because of what we've just been talking about just how many games they've ended up with in such a short period, that they just feel, well, we kind of wouldn't be a good idea to pull another game into that congested, you know. Possibly that's it, and maybe they're just holding on to Splinter Cell for a few extra months. Hopefully that's the case, but you know, enough is enough. You know, I feel like Ubisoft, either show us Splinter Cell or stop torturing us with Sam in other games.
Do you reckon he ends up in an Assassin's Creed game eventually? When they do a modern Assassin's Creed game, is it going to be Sam Fisher somewhere?
Possibly, or like an armor or something that looks like Splinter Cell gear, you know, one of those.
Oh God, that's definitely happening. Yeah, there'll be a Splinter Cell game one of these years. It'll just be a remake of one of them, but you know. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World game. I mean, I love the film. I knew it was off a comic book and game thing, but yeah, again, not my cup of tea, but if it's your thing, it's your damn thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cult classic. People have been asking it for a long time. And there was kind of a weird exchange on Twitter only last month where the original creator of the comic was talking about how the game, there's been no word on the game being remade, and if Ubisoft are doing it, it's without the involvement of him or the actual developers, which was pretty crazy to think. But then obviously he teased the announcement ahead of yesterday, and then he kind of afterwards made a joke about people getting out of his living room now that the game's been announced. So I'm sure Ubisoft made good with him and the developer based on that, and they're likely involved in some way. But I mean, for the people who are fans of this game, it's only good news. And you know, I kind of wanted to try it myself way back when, but never got around to it. So I may well give it a go this time myself. It can be fun to play a beat 'em up with a friend. So may well give this one a go.
It did kind of make me want to watch the film, I won't lie.
I watched it recently when I got added to Netflix. Yeah, it holds up well.
It's good. I think I watched it like last year, so it's good. It's a good film. Again, can we just skip Watch Dogs Legion? I mean, what was the announcement? It was like Stormzy. Yeah.
Stormzy is in the game, yeah. And a mission linked to Stormzy. And then other than that, we just got what seems like a trailer I've probably seen before. Yeah. I've seen so many trailers for this game at this point. They all melded into one trailer.
Like, after I saw Stormzy, I was like, okay, that's cool. I was not paying attention. Because I think I was eating my dinner. I would literally listen to the trailer. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I've watched this three times. it's a football hooligan. Don't pick a fat guy to go on a stealthy mission. It's like, okay, I probably wasn't gonna. I mean, this game still looks very interesting to me. And Aiden Pierce, or whatever he's called, the Watch Dogs one guy, is obviously in the first one of. In this one, I should say. Maybe showing too much is a bad thing. It's not going to affect my interest in it, but stop showing us the same trailer.
That's it, yeah. I mean, whatever about the Stormzy thing, and obviously announcing that Aiden would be in the game as well, because people had wanted that. It's a nice little tie-in to the original game. That's all well and good, but we don't need more of these trailers and more kind of, you can recruit this character, you can recruit that character. We get there is a shit ton of characters in this game.
These things can be done in a These things can be done in a tweet. We don't need an event.
Yeah.
It's just very short. I mean, it's the only thing about Watch Dogs is it comes out at that awkward time, whereas do I wait for next gen or not? And I probably will. But it will be after Cyberpunk and Assassin's Creed, so that will be a sale buy, I reckon, in New Year. Riders Republic, again, as soon as I saw bikes, I was like, I thought it was going to be the crew at first, and I was ready to turn it off. What is this? What is this game?
Yeah, I thought it was a new Trials game.
I did for a bit.
There was like snowboards or something. It seems to be like an extreme sports game, which, you know, in this era where we're getting like 700 skateboarding games, at least this doesn't seem to have skateboarding. It seems to be like BMX and snowboards. It's supposedly very much multiplayer focused. We know Ubisoft often likes to kind of experiment in this area. Sure, they had like a roller derby game not so long ago.
Oh, that still hasn't come out. I'm fuming.
Yeah, so I mean, it's probably not one for me, but I'm sure it is one that will interest a lot of people. I think it's out 25th of February next year. So yet another game jam-packed into this, you know, what seems like it's going to be like 4 months or 5 months of just non-stop Ubisoft releases, starting with Watch Dogs in October. So, I mean, it's interesting, and it's nice. What I will, you know, even though it's not particularly a game for me, I mean, Ubisoft are known as releasing a lot of Ubisoft games, and, you know, with that generally being like an open world tick box game, you know, outside of obviously their shooters like Rainbow Six on top. But I think between this and obviously Scott Pilgrim, now I know that's a re-release of a previous game, and similar with Prince of Persia, the remake, it's nice that they're offering some titles that step outside that. And they do, as I said, they like to experiment here or there. They did it with like Steep. They did it with the roller derby game, which I can't recall what it's called.
Either can I.
So they usually have like one game a year or one game every couple of years that does step out from the norm. But I mean, it's nice that there's what I can say about this showcase was it was diverse for a Ubisoft showcase. It was definitely diverse in terms of the kind of games that were on offer.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what Steep was called before you said it there. Is that what this is? Is it just the next evolution of Steep? I'm not sure how well Steep did, but it was always one of them games that I thought, if I saw it for 10 quid, which I probably have since then, I'd probably buy it and play it. It looks like it'll fall into that category, but if it's multiplayer and you can kind of just absolutely pretty much piss about with it, I could see the allure. But I mean, if it's going to be a full 70 quid a game, which it probably will be if it's coming out next year, next gen, meh. That's what I got. Like, I think we mentioned the fact that it's pretty much a non-event. Finishing on this kind of confirmed that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd echo what you said there, to be honest. I mean, it wasn't, I do question some more. I mean, we talked about it when we watched the first Ubisoft Forward on, you know, was this the way to go, breaking up their announcements into smaller tidbits rather than having that one blowout kind of hour and a half event E3 time. But now I'm wondering if maybe they'd combine these two forwards into one event. Would that have been possibly preferable to, because, you know, kind of with the two smaller parts combined to make something special? You know, I'm not too sure on that, but I don't know. I just feel I often come out of these both of these Ubisoft Forwards just feeling I wanted that little bit more. You know, maybe if there'd been that one more big announcement, that would have made it all worth it. And maybe that's just because I'm dying for them to announce Splinter Cell. I don't know. But
if Skull and Bones was on that, I'd be happy.
Re-reveal of Skull and Bones would be nice as well. But it just seemed to be missing that something for me for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think you're right. If they did both, which might have not been possible, but if you had an event which had, Christ, what was the big game at the last one? Say if you had Far Cry Immortals.
Yeah, Far Cry, I think, was the biggest thing at the last one, yeah.
It was Watch Dogs. Nope. If there was a Watch... If they combined both the Watch Dogs things, Immortals, that bike game. I have closed my phone and I can't remember the name. Riders Republic. Of course, I remember what it's called. It would have been a good one event. Maybe it would have been hard to slim down it into an hour, but as you say, maybe an hour and a half. It probably would have made more sense, but maybe... I keep tempting to call it Gods and Monsters. If Immortals wasn't ready to be shown properly, maybe this makes more sense. But it seems like there was a lot of wasted time there. To kind of fill it into, it was only like, what was it, 45 minutes to an hour, was it? It just seems like there was a lot of emptiness there. But yeah, fair enough. It gives us something to talk about. Carl, this might be our shortest show ever.
We haven't talked about what we've been playing yet.
I was coming to that.
So you never know. We could go down a nice tangent.
Well, it is quite possible because I've been playing Marvel Avengers. I got it, Carl. And do you want to know what it is?
I want to know. I'm very intrigued by this.
It's Anthem with a Marvel skin. Oh,
so our worst fears realized.
I say that like it. Well, it's bad. It is a bad thing. But I liked Anthem, and I'm enjoying this. It's just it's a game from 2006 though. Like the loading screens are unfucking bearable. Like there's a 2-minute loading screen every time you do anything. It's so bad. But once you get into the game, it's very formulaic. Like every mission has the same room. You have to kill these 4 turbines. It's very formulaic, and I genuinely think Anthem might have had more variety in it because you're not tied to a character, if you get what I mean. Like you're obviously in a class type on Anthem, but on this, like, if I'm playing 4, you're doing the same moves. Obviously, there's 6 characters, so there's more variety in that. But when you're playing as a character, there's... I don't know. It just kind of limits yourself to what you can do. Like, it's a fun game, but I wouldn't go as far as saying it's a good game, and I would not recommend anyone buying it. But I've done the deed for the sake of the podcast, Carl, and I bought it. Don't buy it. It's fun, but Christ almighty, I paid 60 quid for that. And then I noticed it was 45 quid on CD keys straight after. So if you are desperate, get it off CD keys. Don't be stupid, like me. It's fun, but it's bad. That's how I'd summarise that.
Yeah, no, I was intrigued to kind of see how it would be kind of picked up by people. I did have low expectations, I won't lie.
Maybe that's why I think it's fun. So I thought it would be absolutely dog shit. Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
Yeah, no, I mean, that could be it, you know. If you expect the worst, and then what little you get will be okay. Yeah, I mean, it just, I hadn't even really thought about getting any new games recently, so I hadn't even contemplated getting Avengers, and now obviously with kind of hearing what you've had to say and little bits I've heard about it on social media, I'm probably not in much of a risk or a rush to do so. Maybe if it receives kind of a hefty price drop, as often those kind of games do quickly if they don't sell well. We've seen it with The Division 2. We've seen it with Anthem. I think I got Anthem for €5. So
there you go. It's worth five. You know, it's worth 5 quid.
Yeah. So if that happens, I may well pick it up. I mean, there's other games that have come out recently that I would be in more of a hurry to get, like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 and Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning. I'm, you know, very tempted to pick up those two games very soon. But I think Avengers will have to get a bit of a price drop before I consider picking it up personally. Based on the reception, I think it has like a 68 on Metacritic at the moment, so that's not
that's just
very good.
That's the amount of minutes in a loading screen.
Yeah,
possibly.
What have you been playing?
Sorry, I keep speaking of you.
No worries at all. No, what I was going to ask is, have you been playing anything else? Anything that you would rate a little bit more highly, perhaps?
Still ticking over with Overwatch. I say that I'm watching people play Overwatch in the background. I may be addicted. It's still the same game it was. They keep updating it. I think they're trying to get the balances ready for the sequel, which was meant to be this year, but I think BlizzCon is January now. So maybe we'll get more news on that in the new year. So yeah, they keep updating Overwatch. So I'm pretty much playing that. I've played the odd game of COD, which I'm shit at, and it pisses me off because I used to be good at Call of Duty. I don't like being bad at it. So yeah, I mean, Overwatch, on that, my mate's in bronze, if you know what that means. It's really funny, because he gets angry, whereas I'm not in bronze. So yeah, they're my main two games. I did have a I don't know if it was on the last pod, it might have been in between that. I had a bit of a Stardew Valley sesh, because my mate asked me about it. And then he bought it, and then I'd barely spoken to him because he was playing Stardew Valley for too much. So yeah, that kind of made me go back on Stardew for a bit. That game is, that is one of the best games of this gen, and it really shouldn't be, but it is. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing in the month as well. We haven't done one. What have you been? Have you played anything?
Not much myself, outside kind of some multiplayer games and playing some FIFA 20 that doesn't really warrant any discussion, but Fall Guys, I think Fall Guys has, been an ever present. It's nice and easy game to jump into with your mates and get some games going. And they've improved the servers, which is nice because the first week or so, bit of a frustrating prospect, let's say, when you're playing with a couple of friends and they get in a game and you don't, and then they have to drop back to get you back in, and then suddenly one of them doesn't get in, and or it crashes when you're all loading into the game and you have to dashboard and go back in. Happy to say a lot of that has been resolved, and I think that was inevitable when you have like kind of a smaller title having such a massive influx of players. So it's nice now that they've sorted it, but that's still fun. It hasn't the fun hasn't worn out yet, and I don't foresee it doing so anytime soon. But outside that, I haven't played much of late. As I said, I'm hoping to play a bit of Odyssey this evening. Hopefully, finally tidy that up, and then I might actually start Horizon Zero Dawn over the weekend, which is something I kept putting off. So. Possibly I'll have an opinion on Horizon next week if we're going to be recording again to cover that PlayStation showcase that's heavily rumoured.
Well, maybe we get to see more of the sequel to that game then. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I've kind of tempted. I need to go play fucking Ghost of Tsushima, but I barely did that. Barely played that.
Oh, funny you say that. I did. That is something else. I did get to play Ghost of Tsushima at my brother's. And I really enjoyed what I played. And it's definitely a game I already kind of intended to pick it up eventually. But I think maybe when I clear a couple of games that I intend to play, such as Horizon, I might well pick it up. Particularly, you know, it's September now. We're not that far off from Black Friday. So if it gets like a nice discount, then I could certainly pick it up, because it's a very, very enjoyable game. I mean, like, absolutely visual. I love the visuals in that game. Like, it's crazy good. I'm not a big fan of the lack of a lock on, and that did frustrate me at times when I was playing, that I couldn't lock on to enemies. Like, one might slightly go out of my camera swung, and trying to hit them could be a bit annoying. But I mean, otherwise, it's a great game in all aspects.
Yeah, I mean, I think Stu's finished it, who's been on here before, and obviously in our WhatsApp groups and stuff like that, he said he loved it. So yeah, I need to get back on it when I stop playing games that aren't that good and are like 4-year-old in Overwatch's case, I think. So yeah, I'll eventually play it. But I probably said that about Horizon as well, so I might be a liar. But yeah, I mean, hopefully next week PlayStation will have some big announcements. Maybe not the price, because at this stage I think Sony are just going to announce it the day before. So yeah, it'll be interesting. But yeah, hopefully we're back next week. If not, we'll just probably be waiting for the next event. If not, we'll have to think up of a topic. I'm not sure. What could be the next game we review, Carl? You need to buy Avengers and we'll do our first bad review.
Yeah. At this point, I suppose quite possibly Cyberpunk.
True.
Given the releases that are coming.
True. That's the thing with when games come out. We can finish Cyberpunk, we can finish Assassin's Creed, then we can review them. But that's probably 200-hour plus games.
Yeah. Well, Assassin's Creed claims to be a lot shorter than the other ones, which would be good because I think as much as I enjoyed Odyssey, it was probably about 100 hours too long. So
I will not say this.
The DLC.
I will not say the same about Cyberpunk because I will enjoy every hour of that game. But that's it. We'll finish up. Again, this is definitely our shortest podcast at 1:20. Good God, I'd be getting sacked if all my football ones were 1:20. But yes, it's been good. So yeah, thank you, Carl. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hopefully, we're back next week, as we say, if Sony do their thing. Goodbye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.